top.
Good evening. We'll start the meeting tonight with the opening prayer led by Pastor Tinsaw. Pastor.
Good evening. My name is Senna Dinsa. I'm originally from Ethiopia. I came to the U.S. 24 years ago. After the seminary, I have served different churches in the state. Currently, I am a pastor at Redeemer Lutheran Church here in Owosso. When I was preparing to come here, Luther's idea about the two hands of God came to my mind. Martin Luther's two hands of God teach that God governs the world in two distinct ways. The right hand kingdom, that's the spiritual. This is God's kingdom through the gospel and the church. The focus is on the faith and salvation. The second and my point is the left-hand side kingdom, earthly or temporal kingdom. Luther taught that this hand of God has a role in restraining evil and protecting peace, order, and justice in the world. This is God's kingdom through law and civil authority, such as kings, rulers, mayors, and city councils. As city councils and servants of God, you may carry memories of victories and struggles, but God still calls you forward. To prove what I said, I want to read from the Bible, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 through 14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Here, Paul gives us a clear focus. It says, forgetting what is behind. This doesn't mean erasing our memories at all, but refusing to let past failures, regrets, or even past successes define our present obedience. The second one is pressing on toward the goal. The goal is fulfilling the calling God placed on your lives. Paul reminds us our calling is forward-facing. God is not finished with you yet. Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray for our country and for all who are entrusted with authority, especially we lift up before you all who serve in positions of civil leadership in our city. Grant wisdom, justice, courage, and integrity to our leaders. Strengthen them in times of challenge. Guide them in moments of uncertainty. Gracious Lord, inspire them to lead with compassion and fairness. Bless their families with patience and support. Bless this meeting and guide them in their deliberations. May their decision bring peace and promote the common good. Let all be done according to your will for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. The pledge of allegiance tonight will be led by Director of Public Services and Utilities, Ryan Suhanek.
I
pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You be seated. This brings us to the roll call. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Mayor Teich?
Here.
Pro Tem Haber?
Here.
Councilmember Fear?
Here.
Luddington?
Here.
Olson?
Here.
Osmer?
Here.
Owens?
The agenda, thank you. Thank you, Madam Clerk. This brings us to the approval of the agenda.
Make a motion to approve?
I have a motion of support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the same. The agenda is approved. This brings us to the approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of May the 4th, 2026.
Make a motion to approve.
Support.
I have a motion of support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the same. The minutes of the regular meeting of May the 4th, 2026 are approved. This now brings us to the approval of the minutes of the special meeting of May 6, 2026.
Make a motion to approve the meeting of May 6 minutes.
Support.
I have a motion of support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the same. The minutes of the special meeting of May 6, 2026 are approved. This brings us to proclamations and special presentations in which we have two tonight. The first being the promotional ceremony police department employee. And may Scott Davis please come to the podium. Scott Davis is a graduate of Lake Superior State University and has worked for the Owosso Police Department for 18 years. And thank you very much for your service. Pinning the lieutenant's badge on Scott tonight is his wife, Megan. So if you'd raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Scott Davis.
I, Scott Davis.
Do swear.
Do you swear
that I will support and abide?
I will support and abide
by the Constitution of the United States.
By the Constitution of the United States
and the Constitution of the State of Michigan.
And the Constitution of the State of Michigan.
I will faithfully enforce.
I will faithfully enforce
and obey all federal and state laws.
And obey all federal and state laws.
I will enforce.
I will enforce
and obey.
And obey.
The ordinances of the city of Owosso.
The ordinances of the city of Owosso.
I will perform.
I will perform.
The duties of police lieutenant.
The duties of police lieutenant.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
I will obey all rules.
I will obey all rules.
Regulations.
Regulations.
Policies.
Policies.
And procedures.
And procedures.
Of the department.
Of the department.
And I will carry out all orders.
I will carry out all orders.
Which may be lawfully.
Which may be lawfully
given to me.
Given to me.
By my superior officers.
By my superior officers.
Congratulations, Lieutenant. Thank you. About 3.5 years ago, when I became mayor, Director Suhanik presented me with a helmet and a vest. And now I will read my opening speech before I do the proclamation. You'll understand why I have this equipment. I respect it a lot, and I've learned a lot when it comes to the Department of Public Works since I've been mayor. So, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Tonight is my honor to recognize National Public Works Week and to acknowledge the hardworking men and women of the Department of Public Works. Public Works professionals are often the unseen backbone of our community. They are the individuals who work behind the scenes every day to ensure that our residents have safe drinking water, functioning roads, reliable sewer service, maintained parks and essential public infrastructure. Quiet simply, many of our services we all rely on each day would not function without them. I want to personally express my sincere respect and appreciation for the dedication, professionalism, and the work ethic of the DPW. These employees do not work only when conditions are ideal. They are out there in the rain, in the blazing summer heat, in the snow, and during freezing temperatures, well below zero. They climb into holes filled with water, mud, and conditions most people would never willingly step into, all to keep our infrastructure operating and our residents safe. When emergencies happen, they answer the call without hesitation. Whether it is water main break in the middle of the night, a sewer backup, a sinkhole, down trees after a storm, or another unexpected emergency, our DPW team responds. While most residents are at home asleep or sheltered from the weather, these individuals are out solving problems and restoring services as quickly and safely as possible. I would also like to share a personal experience that gave me an even greater appreciation for what these men and women do. And I have many, this is just one. Last year, I accompanied Director Suhanik and Water Distribution Foreman Paul Oberlin to a water main break. While they were actively investigating the situation, reviewing maps, organizing crews, coordinating equipment, and communicating with affected residents, I quickly realized just how demanding these situations truly are. Before long, I had to bow out, not because the work was too difficult, but simply because I was too cold. In my defense, I was not dressed appropriately for the conditions. Since then, I have taken some pointers from the team and invested in proper cold weather gear, including Carhartt equipment, lined pants. But that experience gave me firsthand insight into the harsh conditions our DPW employees are expected to work in regularly. And I mean, off the speech here, 24/7. They're on call 24/7. What was eye-opening to me is simply part of the job for them. Their work often goes unnoticed because when everything is functioning properly, people understandably do not think about it. But when something goes wrong, our DPW team is there, ready to respond, ready to serve, and ready to protect public health and safety. To all our public works employees, thank you for your hard work, your sacrifice, your professionalism, and your dedication to serving our community. Your efforts are deeply appreciated, and the city is better because of the work you do each and every day. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you, Director, and your entire team. With that, I am very proud to, as mayor of Owosso, to have the privilege to make this proclamation. Of the mayor's office of the city of Owosso, Michigan, designating May the 17th through May the 23rd, 2026, as National Public Works Week in the city of Owosso. Whereas the public works services provided in our community are an integral part of our citizens' everyday lives. And whereas public works professionals focus on infrastructure, facilities, and services that are of vital importance to sustainable and resilient communities and to the public health, high quality of life, and well-being of the people of the Owosso area. And whereas the support of an understanding and informed citizenry is vital to the efficient operation of public works systems. And programs such as water, sewers, streets, and highways, public buildings, solid waste collection, and snow removal. And whereas the health, safety, and comfort of this community greatly depends on these facilities and services. And whereas the quality and effectiveness of these facilities, as well as their planning, design, construction, its vitality, dependent upon the efforts and the skills of public works employees. And whereas the efficiency of the qualified and dedicated personnel who staff public works departments is materially influenced by people's attitude and understanding of the importance of the work they perform. Now, therefore, I, Robert J. Tice, Jr., Mayor of the City of Owosso, do thereby proclaim the week of May 17th through May 23rd, 2026, as National Public Works Week in the city of Owosso, and I call upon all citizens and civic organizations to acquaint themselves with the issues involved in providing our public works and to recognize the contributions which public works employees make every day to our health, safety, comfort, and quality of life. Proclaimed this 18th day of May 26, Robert J. Tice, Jr., Mayor of Owosso. Us now to public hearings, in which we have two tonight. The first being public hearing rezoning of 1000 Bradley Street, and I'll start it off with the city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This public hearing is a request from NB Concepts LLC to rezone the 6-acre parcel at 1000 Bradley Street from light industrial to multiple family residential. The Planning Commission published and mailed notices and held its public hearing on April 27th of this year and voted to recommend that Council approve this rezoning after review from our planning consultant, OHM, who recommended that action. The applicant proposes to develop the site with approximately 40 single-family residential units, and staff notes that there are no anticipated fiscal impacts to the city from this rezoning action. Now, keep in mind that the rezoning does not require them to carry out the development. There's a lot more steps here, but this one is crucial for them to secure the funding that they are seeking through the state of Michigan, through and possibly with the city through a brownfield tax incentive or a grant through Michigan State Housing Development Authority, or EAGLE. This is going to be a crucial thing for them to continue with this project. But the first step is, on the city side, rezoning. And with that, we submit for your consideration.
Thank you, City Manager. Again, this is for not the approval of what's going to go on the property per se, the Quonset huts or whatever. This public hearing is for rezoning. Whatever is decided to go on the properties, that's going to be done by the Planning Commission that then comes back to this council. So this is about the rezoning of going from light industrial to RM multiple family residential at this meeting. So with that, I'm going to open it up to public comments, in which will be afforded up to 3 minutes during this comment session. And the comments are to be made basically only to the subject of which a public hearing are held. So are there any comments at this point in time? Yes.
Good evening, everybody. Justin Horvath, 818 South Washington Street, here tonight. My role as head of the Shiawassee Economic Development Partnership. I think everybody on the council is familiar with this project, but for the public's edification, this is the redevelopment of the former Vaughn Guard site in Westtown, Owosso. Many remember that fire approximately 20 years ago. The property ended up coming back to the city and has been sitting there, unfortunately, not doing anything of value for the last 20 years. So we were able to work with a new development team that represented here tonight, and he'll come out after me, to establish an opportunity to bring in some multifamily housing on that site. And so, as the council knows, but again for the public, we did come in front of the council a few months ago asking for support to sell the property, which the council did agree to. We have a purchase agreement in place on that, with the goal again of turning that site into much, much needed housing, affordable housing in our community. Tonight, as Mayor Rob said, all you have on your agenda is the rezoning of the property. We are not yet to the site plan phase. Part of that is we've been working with Nathan and the city and the developer and environmental consultants on understanding what type of environmental remediation, which is cleanup basically, is going to be necessary because there still is a little bit of stuff in the ground. I'm no expert on that, but obviously we've got to get that right, and that very well may determine the layout of the site. But to Nathan's point, that does open up the opportunity for use of different incentives, including state cleanup money. That's one of the things I'm excited about, is we might get much needed housing and get a contaminated site cleaned up with state dollars as well. So I think it's a great fit. Again, we're actually, I'll say, downgrading the zoning. Right now, a factory could be built on that property, and I don't think probably the neighbors would want a factory next to them at this point. I think multifamily is a good transition zoning between the single family and the commercial that is out on Main Street and on Chipman. So we're in full support of this. This is going to deliver a much needed product for our community. I think it's going to help Westtown. I've talked to a lot of businesses in Westtown that are excited about having a lot more residents there for businesses. So here in full support tonight, and I'll let the developer comment additionally. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, how's it going? My name is Philip Kovic. I'm one of the partners at MB Concepts. And as Justin said, we are very excited. We've been spending a lot of time in the city the last 6, 7, 8 months, and we're very excited to contribute to the growth here. And, you know, as we're here tonight, this is just kind of the first step in that process, as Nathan said. There's still a lot of work that has to be done to the property, but getting that rezoning allows us to secure our funding and then also lock in our site plan and then work and finish our environmental work as well. So this is just the first step in the process. And yeah, we're, like I said, we're excited to contribute to the growth of the city. So thank you.
Thank you. Further comments? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the council for comments.
I just have one question, or for clarification. On the OHM sheet, it says that it's to rezone roughly 6 acres, but then in their first paragraph it says that it's addressing rezoning 3 acres. Is there a reason for the discrepancy? Like, is the whole 6-acre parcel up for rezoning?
The whole parcel is. The one thing we have that they're contending with is quite a large railroad right-of-way that the city does not own. I think that was just a mistake from one document to the next on the size of the parcel. But for our purposes here, that parcel number, that's what's being rezoned.
The full 6 acres?
No, probably not.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Further comments? Questions?
Make a motion to approve.
Support.
A motion to support. This will be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you're ready.
Councilmember Fear?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Osmer?
Yes.
Ludington?
Yes.
Pro Tem Haber?
Yes.
Mayor Teich?
Yes. The rezoning of 1000 Bradley Street is approved. This brings us to our second public hearing, 2026-2027 city budget. And again, we'll start it off with the city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This public hearing is held pursuant to Chapter 8 of the City Charter to receive citizen comment on the proposed 2026-2027 fiscal year budget. The council reviewed the budget at the May 6th workshop, and the budget is unchanged. The budget draft is unchanged since that meeting. Staff has been working with all of our stakeholders, including you, council, to get to this point. And this is a process that typically starts in December with the capital improvement plan. Now, we were a little late getting that just because of some scheduling issues with Planning Commission, but we are ready to submit for your full approval this evening, subject to the public hearing. Okay.
With that, I would open it up to the public for comments on the city budget. You'd be allowed, again, up to 3 minutes to address the council. Is there anyone that would like to address the council regarding the 26-27 city budget? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the council for any further comments.
And then for me.
You're looking for a motion.
Make a motion to adopt the 26-27 budget.
Support.
I have a motion support. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Councilmember Olson?
Yes.
Ludington?
Yes.
Osmer?
Yes.
Pro Tem Haber?
Yes.
Councilmember Fear?
Yes.
Mayor Teich?
Yes. The 2026-2027 city budget is approved. This brings us to citizens' comments, in which each person wishing to address the city council shall be afforded one opportunity of up to 4 minutes duration during the first occasion and up to 3 minutes during the last occasion. When recognized, please come to the podium, give your name and your address, and direct your comments to the mayor. I'm going to start it off with, if I can, with the Angie Norling, who is the director of 9/11. Angie.
Hello. Good evening. My name is Angie Norling, and I am the 911 director with Shiawassee County 911. And our address is 702 Crenna Avenue in Crenna. I wanted to come here today to bring some awareness. In August, we're going to have a request for a surcharge increase on the August ballot. So I'm making my way across the communities to just kind of raise some awareness on what that is and what it's for. Currently, the residents of Shiawassee County 911 are charged $2.65 per month, and that's per phone line, whether it be landline, wireless, or VoIP, which is voice over internet phone. These funds are used exclusively to fund the 911 system in Shiawassee County. We do not receive any funding from the general fund. That $2.65 is what pays our bills every year. The surcharge has not been increased since 2016. So for the last 10 years, we've been collecting the same amount. So our revenue has stayed pretty flat for the last 10 years. Our expenses since 2016, we've seen a rise in our expenditures of 182%. So since 2016, that's quite an increase. Just to highlight on some of the things that we need to do, we need to update our CAD system, which is over 25 years old. We're dealing with some federal mandates as far as encryption goes on our radios that we use to communicate with first responders. We have some phone refreshes that need to happen with our next-gen 911 telephone system, and the list goes on and on. We put a communications tower up in Owosso Township, which has really benefited our first responders immensely, but we still have some work to do on the communications side for the county, so this money is extremely important to help us keep raising money and make the improvements that we need to do for the technology for 911. The ballot proposal, if passed, would increase the 911 surcharge per month 35 cents. So you're paying $2.65 now. If the surcharge does pass, it would raise that up to $3. So we're looking for a 35 cent increase per month per phone line. So if you only have one phone, it'd be $4.20 for the whole year. Overall, this amount would give us an additional $256,000. To put towards our budget for, like I said, to keep up with the technology updates and the requirements that we have to do on 911 side. By law, the 911 surcharge is at $3, and since that's many communities, especially around us, Genesee County is already at $3, Saginaw County is at $3, I believe Agam is, Gratiot County is, and some of them also have millages as well. We do not have a millage. Once again, this is strictly where our funding comes from. So that's pretty much all I have. I'm willing to take any questions if you have any for me. But
I'm on the board, so I don't have any questions.
Okay, sir. I appreciate that.
I see the work they do. I go to their facility. I see the staff. I see the actual what they do, their talent that they have there. So I think again, it's we take a lot of things for granted. 911 is probably the same way, but I can attest that it's quite an organization, quite a group of good employees, and we're only better for it. So. Thank you for all you do as well.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yep. Any other comments for the council? Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Okay. This brings Phil. We're at citizen comments. Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, Mayor Teich, council members. I would like to begin by clarifying some concerns that may have been misconstrued since my last public comment here. I, along with many others here, do not wish to infringe on anyone's First Amendment rights to host an event in our community. My concern is specifically about the appropriateness of...
I was told you didn't say your name. I know your
name.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Yes, because I was just here. Shelley Agonicki, Caledonia Township.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it.
Yes. I, along with many others here, do not wish to infringe on anyone's First Amendment rights to host an event in our community. My concerns are specifically about appropriateness of certain forms of adult entertainment, particularly drag performances, in the public setting where young children are present. Based on videos and photos from last year's event, I believe these performances fall under the definition of adult cabaret that is outlined in Chapter 4, Article 7 of our current city ordinance. For anyone who has not reviewed the materials from last year's event, please see Pastor Don, who is over there. He has been sharing the videos and the photos from last year, so you can see what we are speaking to. And we are more willing to obviously have a discussion after this regarding that. Through my work in our community, I have learned to appreciate individuals from all walks of life. I want to make it clear that neither I nor anyone that I have spoken with wish any harm or ill will towards anyone involved in this event, including the drag performers. I believe every person deserves to be treated with kindness, dignity, respect, and I will always lead in that fashion. At the same time, I believe that it is reasonable to ask whether certain performances are appropriate for adult audiences in private venues rather than in public spaces where children are present. My concern is centered on protecting children from material or themes that are not appropriate for certain ages. Some of the concerns that have been raised include exposure to mature themes. Some drag performances may include suggestive humor, provocative dancing, or language that parents may not consider appropriate for young children, as was demonstrated last year in the performances where the drag queens danced in provocative ways with children, accepting dollar bills for their performances. Age appropriateness. Some children may feel confused or uncomfortable in highly theatrical or mature environments, depending on the nature of the performance, such as dancing with men dressed like women and collecting dollar bills. Again, I want to emphasize that I'm not asking the city to prevent an event from taking place. I am simply asking that the adult-oriented entertainment, as highlighted, to be held to the ordinance as adult cabaret and to be limited to age-appropriate enclosed settings intended for adults only. Thank you for time and consideration this evening.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Mayor and Council, my name is Marcia Bird. I live at 123 East Oliver Street in Corona, or in Wetzel. I don't know where I live, I guess. I've been a member of the Owosso community since 1993 and have raised three children at Owosso Public Schools who are very active in their communities. I am most proud of them as respected members of their residence at this time and the fact that I have placed in our home the values of including people of all lifestyles, different or the same as our own. I am also the chair of the Shiawassee County Democratic Party, and we believe in supporting all residents, especially those who are vulnerable. As such, we support the LGBTQ+ community, Owosso Pride, and Owosso Pride Festival. Further, I am speaking on behalf, with their permission, of the Democratic Parties of District 7, which is comprised of Clinton, Ingham, Livingston, Eaton Counties, the Rural Caucus of District 7, and the LGBTQ+ Caucus of District 7. We have been supportive and involved in the Owosso Pride Festival since its conception at the Owosso Farmers Market and Owosso Pride Festival at Curwood Castle. It is presently a half-day celebration with information, crafts, children's activities such as bubble blowing, sidewalk chalk, and story time. It is held in a public park and ensures the safety of all individuals attending. Owosso Pride screens all volunteers and booth participants for child abuse, domestic violence, and violent crimes prior to allowing them to participate. I would like to share just a few stories of why I feel so strongly about the Pride Festival. As a 72-year-old, I have seen a long transition in the support and rights of the LGBTQ+ community. I had an uncle who served this country in World War I, but was unable to live openly as a gay man in our state. My family supported him throughout his life. My principal and geometry teacher in the early 70s had to live a closed life, sharing their home openly but hiding their love. Thankfully, they were able to get married and remain married until my principal died last year. One of my best friends in high school was a gay man. He remained in the closet until 3 years after our high school graduation, feeling only safe in by moving to a community near Lake Michigan. At our 15-year class reunion, he called to ask if he could sit with me and a few other friends because it would be a safe place to be. At our 50th reunion, however, he brought his husband, and he was embraced with love and companionship of everybody who was present. My great-nephew is graduating from high school this year at the top of his class. He has been an engineer on his robotics team. He's featured as an artist in the botanical gardens and was a junior bridesmaid at my daughter's wedding. At 14, he shared that with his family that he felt like he had been a boy his entire life, and it began a successful and supported transition to become a male teen. I am so happy to say that my husband and I were among the first 5 people that Lou felt comfortable telling his story to. He is supported by my entire family and all of the people at his school. There are so many other stories like this in our community, in our state, and in our nation. These are loving human beings that want to be respected for who they are, and they are active citizens in our schools, in our businesses, and in our community. Please do not succumb to the comments from only a few community members who do not understand the personal lives that are impacted by these people. Please let love be love. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. My name is Nicole Fila. I live at 421 West Oliver here in Owosso. I am a school nurse here in this community. I want to speak tonight not about politics, but about kids. Every day in my office, I see students who are anxious, isolated, struggling with depression, self-esteem, bullying, and feeling like they don't belong anywhere. And for many of my LGBTQ youth in a small conservative community like this, those feelings can be even heavier because they rarely see themselves represented in safe, positive ways. But for some students, a Pride Festival is not about politics or controversy. It's about seeing proof that they are not alone. It's about knowing there are adults and neighbors in town that believe they deserve safety, dignity, and acceptance in exactly as they are. Representation matters because visibility saves lives. When young people feel unseen or rejected, they suffer quietly. But when they feel accepted by even a small part of their community, it can create hope, connection, and resilience. I understand that not everyone will agree on every part of this event. And as a parent and healthcare professional, I also believe conversations about age-appropriate programming are reasonable. But removing Pride entirely sends a much larger message to a vulnerable youth. There is no place for me here. As adults, we can disagree respectfully while choosing compassion. We can create spaces that are inclusive without abandoning our values. And we can show our children that communities are strongest when everyone feels safe enough to belong. I hope this council will consider not just the controversy of the moment, but the quiet students sitting in classrooms tomorrow who are watching carefully to see whether or not their community accepts them. Thank you for your time.
All right, my name is Jacqueline. I live at 410 Randolph Street here in Owosso. And I am here to talk about the Pride Festival, as many of us are. Last year, I was a proud participant in the festival as a vendor, and I will be returning again this year. I'm speaking not only as a business owner, a community member, but also as a wife, a mother of four children, and someone who deeply values inclusion, respect, and community. I also want to be really transparent. My wife is transgender, which makes this issue very personal for our family. Last year, my wife, our four children, and I attended the Pride Festival together, and it was our first one with my wife being openly out in the community as trans. What my children witnessed was not anything inappropriate or harmful. They witnessed kindness, inclusiveness. They witnessed people supporting one another and creating a genuine sense of community. I understand that concerns have been raised regarding what is appropriate for public events where children are present. I want to make it very clear that supporting Pride does not automatically mean supporting explicit behavior, provocative dancing, or sexual content in front of children. I personally agree that public family events should remain age appropriate. Pride should be centered around acceptance, support, visibility, local community, and creating safe spaces for people to gather peacefully. I also believe that it is important to separate drag performances from assumptions that are made about it. There's a difference between inappropriate adult entertainment and theatrical self-expression. Last year, the drag queens at the event were reading stories, singing, entertaining, and interacting positively with youth and their families. Theater, costumes, makeup, and performance art have existed for generations in many forms, and not every drag performance is sexual or explicit simply because someone is dressed creatively or performing in character. What I experienced at last year's event was families walking around together, small businesses connecting with the community, children playing and laughing, people expressing themselves freely, and individuals feeling accepted for who they are. For many LGBTQ individuals, especially youth, events like this can be incredibly meaningful because they provide a reminder that they are not alone and that they deserve respect just like everyone else. Supporting the Pride Festival is not about forcing beliefs or lifestyles onto anyone. It is simply about allowing people the same freedom to gather, celebrate, and exist peacefully within the community as any other group. Owosso is home to a lot of LGBTQ families, too. We live here, work here, raise our children here, own businesses here, and contribute to this community just like everyone else. At the same time, I respect that every event is not for every person. One of the freedoms we all have is the ability to choose what events we attend. If someone does not wish to attend the Pride Festival, they absolutely have that right. But others should also have the right to attend peacefully without being made to feel unwelcome simply for existing. I believe there is room for common ground. We can support free expression, support local businesses, support LGBTQ residents and their families, and still maintain reasonable expectations for age-appropriate public conduct. Those things can coexist. Owosso is strongest when we lead with kindness, understanding, and respect rather than fear or division. I hope that we can continue to allow events like Pride to exist because they bring people together, support local businesses, organizations, and remind people that they belong in this community. That's all I have.
Prepared. May I still?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Just name and address and you're good to go.
Hello, everybody. My name is Sabrina. I live at 414 Adams Street. Just moved here. I did live in Williamston for a little bit, but I just moved here last year. So I wanted to clarify something about drag performers. You tip your barista, you tip like somebody who is performing like, let's say, a trumpet or a violin, you tip your waiter. Just because you tip somebody doesn't mean that they are likened to an adult dancer. I am active in the drag community. I go to drags every Wednesday. All my friends are drag performers. I am working towards becoming a drag performer myself. And not all drag performers do explicit numbers and routines, especially when it's not in the right setting. So at things like Pride, they take a lot of care and preparation into what they're going to be displaying and dancing to. And I would liken it to possibly a ballet, or you would go to a jazz dance. That's how it is. Thank you. Thank you.
John Gallardi, 5145 Hickory Hollow Lane, Bennington Township. Before retiring, I was a pastor here in this community for almost 40 years. I'm speaking against the aspect of the children involvement with the Pride event. I'm not speaking specifically about the Pride event itself, but I am talking about the kids. I want to begin this way by saying to each of you that I appreciate and thank you for your service. You've been elected to do a very difficult job, and there are tough decisions that you all have to deal with from time to time. You can't please all of the people of the community, so that makes it difficult. I appreciate the work that you put into making those decisions. But I want to address to you this evening a concern for those who did not vote for you. For those that really didn't vote for anybody because they were too young to cast a ballot. I'm talking about the children of our community. My sense is that they should not be sexualized in any way. And I would be against this if indeed this was a heterosexual event that was provocative in some way, shape, or form as well. They're children. They should be protected. This is a community event. It's on community property. It's not private. We're not talking about people's homes and what they do in their own household. This is public property. I'm encouraging you to do the right thing here and to put some limitations on this with respect to our children. And again, whether it was heterosexual or otherwise, I would feel the same about this. They need to be looked after and they need to be protected. Being a council member, being the mayor, you all bear a great deal of responsibility. I think we all get that. And we also all understand that we need to respect one another, even though we have differing opinions. We're all citizens of the same community, and we're all working to try to get along, even though we have different viewpoints. But nonetheless, for those who really can't speak to this issue, for those that are not mature enough to handle speaking to this issue, I'm raising this concern to you that you would do the right thing and limit this in scope so that children are protected. Thank you.
My name's Garland Grazier. I live at 3051 North Hints. I got to agree with the pastor in the sense that we have to protect our children. I've been to a couple of the drag performances. I didn't see any children there. If I had, I wouldn't address the children. I'd be addressing the parents because they're the ones that have brought their children to them. As far as the pride in the park, I would take my mother, my grandmother, I would take my three-year-old, I'd take my four grandkids that are from newborn to eight, because nothing's going on in that park. No, I can't remember seeing any drag queens there. I'm not saying they hadn't, but I would also have enough sense as a grandfather to explain to them what's going on. And at the younger ages, they don't have any idea. They're not asking questions. There's nothing sexual going on. There's nothing obscene. There's nothing. For all they know, it's people dressing up for Halloween. So it has to be the people that are putting that image on other people, because it's not happening at a Pride parade, a Pride event. It's just not happening. And as far as the drag queen show, it's an adult show. Why are you taking your kids there? How do you know about this, that it's happening, unless you're going? Yes, if adults are there, I would question them why they brought a child to that. It's not the performer's fault at all. They're just putting, like she said, they're putting on entertainment. We've had Lebowski put on some different entertainments before that some people didn't care for. So there's a bigger objective here. The Bible says not to judge, or you'll be judged. I'm not judging anybody. It's not my job. I don't necessarily love tattoos. The Bible's got a verse in there for that, too. So it's not about the kids. It's about adults wanting to place their judgment on other people and trying to control things, because the kids aren't being harmed unless somebody's pointing it out to them. Thank you.
I didn't come prepared. Sorry. My name is Candy. I live at 1330 North M52 in Owosso. I have lived in Owosso for 11 years. I moved over here when my ex and I separated. And my kids, I met my husband, and my kids attended Owosso Public Schools. My stepkids also attended Owosso Public Schools. So I've had four children in the past 10 years attend and will graduate from Owosso Public Schools. My youngest son actually works here in the community. He worked for a community member that, when he worked for her, she was very degrading to him. She put him down. She tried to degrade on him and tell him that he could not do things in his life. She encouraged him not to go to college. He ended up going to college. It wasn't quite for him, which was fine. He ended up getting a job 4 years ago with a friend of ours who is actually very well known in the community. He owns a business here in Owosso. His family is very well known. And he has worked for him for 4 years. In that 4 years that he has worked for him, it's allowed my son to come out of the closet. 2 years ago, I had a conversation with my son at 22 years old that my son was gay. I think that was the best conversation that I had with my child, because he had kept it from me, and I had kind of wondered about it. He told me, he said, "Mom, why don't you come to Pride this year?" So I did. I went to Pride. 2 years ago, I went to my first drag show. There is no children there. It's a 21 and event. I brought my 70-year-old mother-in-law to the event. She had a blast. She asked to come back again. She wants to go back again. I've also been to Pride in the Park. I have very close friends that are in this room that are on part of the board that are family to me. They've helped my son go through it. He's actually met his partner in this aspect too. They attend the Pride in the Park, and I was at Pride in the Park last year, and what I witnessed, including one of the children that I'm close to, and me being a teacher as well, that this little girl was in my class, was laughter coming from her, and joy, and love. And there wasn't ill pictures, there wasn't inappropriate things going on. It was a great day that everybody was smiling, everybody was loved, and everybody was accepted, and that's how it should be. And I just want to end with something that I read on Facebook really quickly the other day, a post that somebody had posted about the community and about the... It states, "Protecting children should mean teaching them kindness, respect, and how to exist in a world filled with different people, not teaching them fear or hatred towards others simply for being different. No one is trying to turn children into anything. A parade or public event centered around acceptance does not harm kids. Intolerance and hostility do. People can disagree respectfully without threatening others or trying to silence them. If your values are truly strong, they shouldn't require anger, intimidation, or exclusion to defend them." Thank you.
Well, good evening, Council. I am Pastor Deb Grazier. I am the Reverend at First Congregational Church at 327 North Washington. I do live in New Haven Township. I'm acting as a clergy from this community this evening, and I want to speak clearly and compassionately to everyone here. Every person deserves dignity, safety, and respect. In Owosso, we should be neighbors first. We all know that we worship differently. We vote differently. We come from different backgrounds. But fear and intimidation cannot be the foundation of a healthy community. Supporting pride does not mean everyone must agree on every issue. It means that we need to recognize the humanity of the LGBT community and reject the idea that anyone should be shamed, threatened, or made to feel afraid to exist openly in a town that they call home. Faith at its best calls us toward love, mercy, and courage. Not scare tactics, not rumors, and not division. We communities grow stronger when people feel safe, participating in public life, attending events, and supporting local businesses, while we raise our families without fear. There is room in Owosso for conversation, for disagreement handled respectfully, and for people of faith to lead with compassion instead of condemnation. I encourage our neighbors to choose kindness over hostility.